I'm Faith Middleton. It's great to have you joining the party on the Food Schmooze here on WNPR in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. My food buddies are here. Senior contributor Christopher Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut. Alex Province, our regular contributor, food, wine, and cocktails. And we have Mark Raymond, who's one of our great sources on wine. And he's from Frederick Wildman and Sons. And you can tell your friends, no matter where they live, they can listen to the Food Schmooze from anywhere in the world, as many people do. Hey, everybody.
Hey.
Good to have you on the show. So here's what we're going to do to start you off. We have so many things coming your way. We had a vinegar tasting before the show. We have a recipe for something called grilled or roast chicken za'atar. This is a spice blend, talk about calorie saving, that is so powerfully delicious. And it's from a cookbook called The Healthy Mind. And this woman's specialty is the connection between food and medicine, but she loves delicious things, and so she's put it all together. Can't wait to tell you about this spice blend. It's something that Chris Prosperi makes all the time, and I've enjoyed his blend for years. Mark Raymond has brought us a collection of wines that are so delicious, I cannot tell you. One from Provence, one from the Piemonte region of Italy, and an Italian sparkling, very dry red that I adore. And that is from what region, Mark?
That's from Emilia-Romagna.
Emilia-Romagna, where a dry, dry, bone-dry sparkling red can work against these things with fat in them, as they have them in Emilia-Romagna. Okay, are we in the mood for, now as we turn the corner into spring, of these bright flavors?
Mm. Oh, yes. Let's go.
Come Winter on. Be gone. Bye-bye.
It's just more so this year than any other year ever.
You know, we know that we're in for it still, because always in April, and I'm sorry to say in May also, in our region, there are these surprises. There are frosts. There are sleet and
you're
mud.
Me cry.
And, you know, these things happen, and you're just at the end of your rope. So we know there's going to be plenty of time for still more hearty food, and maybe we'll get to those next week again because we're going to need them. But right now, we're into brightness. We're just craving it. So what provides super, super brightness? Lemon. So we've arranged a whole bunch of things. Lemon, we've got, Mark has a thing going here with a wine that would be terrific with this sort of lemony food that we've got going. We asked our resident, we call him our resident bartender, Connecticut bartender, Anthony DeSario, who lives in the greater Hartford region, to come up with something that occurred to him when he was in the supermarket. And we said, so just roam the aisles and see what you do. So, of course, he goes to the produce section of the supermarket, and he starts eyeing the fresh juices that are in bottles in the produce section.
Oh, yeah.
That's where you
There's
find them.
There's a whole section of them now, too, isn't there? That you can tell them by the colors.
Right.
It's red and yellow and orange.
And
then they're blends, too, right? Like mango, banana, and
And remember, and these are fresh juices. So and remember, he did something with carrots. We did that carrot ginger cocktail of his. Well, this time his eye fell on pomegranate juice, unsweetened pomegranate juice.
So healthy.
He said, I know what I have to do. I have to come up with the ultimate pomegranate martini. And that's exactly what he's done. This is on our website right now, Food Schmooze, S-C-H-M-O-O-Z-E, foodschmooze.org. And this is for any time of year. I suppose you could do this warm in a mug if you wanted to, if it's really chilly out, or as a martini. You know what's great about Anthony? He likes to come up with cocktails often that call for any spirit that you might have lying around.
Nice.
Yeah. So you don't have to you can rummage through that cabinet.
Yeah, if you have
that one's
gin.
Empty. Oh, yeah. There's some left
but
here.
I have this.
So this one, he's calling for gin. You could do it with vodka, certainly, and maybe some other spirits too. But we have four ingredients, and you just shake it up. You're going to make a simple syrup, which is a sugar and water syrup. That's so easy. Mm-hmm. In a saucepan on the stove, a little bit of water and a little bit of sugar. On the heat, you stir it till it melts, and that stays in your refrigerator for 3-4 weeks.
Yeah,
so for a month.
Oh, yeah, forever.
We keep ours in a squirt bottle, plastic squirt bottle.
So you can just add it to your cocktails as you make them.
And to your tea, to your coffee, your iced tea in the summer. So good to have it there in the house. Here it is. He's calling, as you'll see on the recipe online at foodschmooze.org, for London Dry Gin, a little bit of freshly squeezed lemon juice, a little bit of pomegranate juice, not too much, so you can enjoy it many, many times, and just a touch of the sugar water, the simple syrup. Mm-hmm. And you shake it up cold, cold, cold in your shaker. We love that sound.
Ice crystals.
Icy, right.
Mm. Colder the better.
Strain it into your martini glass or any kind of glass you might have around the house. And there you go. It chilled pomegranate martini. That is fantastic. Thank you, Anthony DeSerio.
Yes, please.
My wife's going to love that recipe.
Is she a huge pomegranate martini fan?
She hunts for good pomegranate martinis.
Oh, no kidding.
So I'm very excited to try that out.
Speaking of pomegranates, we have, for Christmas, we decorate our house with pomegranates. So we'll go to like a restaurant place and buy mounds of pomegranates, put them all over the house for decorations.
What do you mean a restaurant place?
Like where you can buy them in bulk. So we buy a case of pomegranates. And then we put them all on the mantle. We put them like on shelves and just like fill our house with the oranges
they
and pomegranates. And
Christmassy
it's
color.
Very sort of like Elizabethan
beautiful
Christmas. So now, they go into our basement and, you know, they're preserved down there pretty well. And we have in the industrial like juicers. So then we just have a plethora of pomegranates. So now I have another thing.
What do you do? So do you cut them in half and
cut
then
them
squeeze.
In half. Yep, cut them in half, put them in the press, like pull down really hard, and you get this beautiful, like red saturated juice.
Mm.
And then Matt will just like press enough for a carafe, and then we'll put saran wrap and put it in the refrigerator.
And now you know what to do tonight when you get home.
Yeah,
get
I didn't
that
need
bottle
help,
of
but
get that bottle of gin out
or vodka.
Yeah.
All right, as promised, our spring celebration of delicious lemony dishes. This thing happens to us at this time of year every year, and we know they're going to be falling temperatures. So lemon does the trick for us, and we have pulled out some of our favorites. I think we have about three. These recipes are at foodschmooze.org right now. So first from our friend Matthew Bennett. In Hartford, Connecticut, he makes a flounder with lemon that has a lemon salsa on it, which I adore. I'm someone who chops up preserved lemons to
ooh
make a salsa. And so here's Matt using, what does he do? You tell us, Alex, since you're enjoying this food with him.
Tells me as I'm running out the door this morning. So he pan fries flounder in butter over the summer. Oh my gosh.
That's not terrible.
Mm-mm. And serves it with beans. So, you know, and it's just heavenly. But this Meyer lemon salsa goes on top. So it's Meyer lemons, which I love, shallots that you dice up, olive oil, some savory, some mint, little parsley, a little bit of salt, and it makes this like salsa that he sort of delicately puts on top of this crusty flounder.
That sounds fantastic.
You could do that on chicken too, right?
Oh,
a crusty chicken.
Just
sure.
Chicken. You could just eat the salsa with chips.
No, really. Because Meyer lemon is milder than our traditional lemons. I forget what our traditional ones are called. Me too. You can find them in many, many supermarkets. And they cost a little bit more, but wow, are they good. So that's a great, great recipe. Thank you, Matthew Bennett. And now we went to our files and we came up with a couple of recipes that featured lemon that we really like. And I looked and two of these recipes are from allrecipes.com, our colleagues there.
One.
So we wanted to give them credit. The first one is shrimp lemon pepper linguine. Now,
classic.
I remember seeing this recipe the first time and I thought, you mean I have to go buy lemon pepper linguine? Where am I going to find that? No. What it means is you just get linguine. And then this involves olive oil and lots of garlic and chicken broth, a little bit of white wine, juice of a lemon, a little bit of the zest, the skin on the outside, salt and pepper, shrimp that's maybe pre-cooked or you cook yourself depending on your time zone.
Cooks in seconds.
I know.
Shrimp's so easy.
You really can just dip it in there and it's done. Fresh parsley and fresh basil. So you're making your pasta over here on the side, which is simple. And then just saucepan on the stovetop, saute your garlic. You mix in a little bit of chicken broth, that wine, the lemon juice, the lemon zest, salt and pepper. Reduce that heat and you let it simmer. And that kind of simmers down to about half its original volume. You're doing your shrimp in this sauce. So you just put in the raw shrimp, butter, parsley, and basil into that saucepan with the sauce. In 3 minutes, it is done. And you then put the linguine, drain it out of the big pot, and put it in that saute pan with all that good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
It cooked 2 minutes more. It's all coated, and it is fantastic. Shrimp, lemon pepper, nice. Linguine.
That you know what's great awesome. About those recipes Fresh. Is... If I have to do dinner, I can start in 5 minutes, make the house. As Matt comes in, the house like smells so wonderfully, and it seems like I've been cooking forever. Yeah. But all I have is the olive oil and the garlic.
And a pot of water boiling.
Like, oh my gosh, it smells good.
You are so good to me. Oh, all right.
Hey, I have a lemon dessert, and you know me, I never have desserts.
You
ever.
Never make dessert.
I never make dessert. I very rarely eat dessert.
If you made dessert, I'd eat some.
Yeah, but it's not an area because of my family history. My father and younger brother are pastry chefs, so I let them do all that and I stay away from it. But I have the easiest and probably one of the best lemon desserts I've ever had. And it really requires basically no cooking or anything except bringing up a little cream to a simmer. All right? And it's called a lemon posset. Now, this I got from West Street Grill when I worked there a million years ago, and I think
– In Litchfield.
Yeah, in Litchfield. I think they may still serve it. It's just a brilliant idea for dessert. And all it is you take a cup of cream and put it in a pot and bring it up to a simmer, and you mix in 2 tablespoons of powdered sugar, a little splash of vanilla – right? And then you take it off the stove and you squeeze in 1 lemon. And then I like to, because of the history of what a posset is, I like to hit it with a little limoncello. So it's like an adult dessert. So if you're doing it for adults, a little limoncello. For kids, you can just do it without. And then you take that and ladle it into glasses and refrigerate. And it curdles it, but in a smooth custard-like consistency. And it tastes just like a lemon custard, but has no eggs. It's just cream and basically cream and lemon juice and a little bit of sugar, and you can make it. But a little addition of the vanilla and the limoncello, and it just – yeah. And again, that's it, great. Right? That is
– Yeah, the Atkins people, just do sugar substitute. You're all good to go on that.
So bright, right? It's just so bright. If you had fresh raspberries to put on top, it's heaven.
Oh, blueberries.
Yeah, or blueberries or whatever.
Oh, that sounds so good.
So there, I'm giving a dessert recipe.
I can't believe
that'll
that.
That'll never happen
and
again.
I believe that is going straight onto the website, so you can find it there at foodschmooze.org. I'm Faith Middleton. I hope you will make a charitable contribution to Feed the Hungry. We have the most delicious collection of wines, $20 and under, coming your way. All listed at the website. But you've got to hear this. More mouth-watering conversation and fun here on the Food Schmooze. We'll be right back.
Cornbread out of sight. Beans. Cornbread said, now that's all right. Beans. Meet me on the corner tomorrow night.
I'm Faith Middleton. The Food Schmooze Party here on WNPR is heard Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon. Join the conversation with us on Facebook. Simply search The Faith Middleton Show. Thanks to our talented crew, senior contributor Chris Prosperi of Metro Beast Restaurant in Simsbury, Connecticut, our regular contributors Alex Provence and Mark Raymond, Eugenia Matruda, Marion Roy, senior producer Lori Mack, producer Jonathan McNichol. How lucky am I to work with these people? It is the best time. I cannot tell you. And thank you first and foremost for listening. As promised, we're going to get to the cookbook, The Healthy Mind, in our next segment. And this is Rebecca Katz, who with Matt Edelson specializes in food as medicine, but it has to be delicious. And wow, does she have some delicious recipes in her book, especially this grilled chicken za'atar, a spice mixture that's amazing. I want to quickly tell you that as we go into our three special wines, $20 and under, and so delicious. To continue the lemon theme, we have posted on the site the top 7 lucky lemon tips, such as if you cannot have wine or you just don't choose to, you can substitute lemon juice in soups and pan sauces with a little chicken broth, and it's the exact same thing.
Great
okay,
idea.
So that's great.
Yeah.
The grilling of lemons or the roasting of lemons in a pan in the oven changes the texture and brings out the sugars. And when you squeeze that on your food, unbelievable. We tell you how. How to make your lemonade better. It's about resting the lemons in the water. We'll tell you about that online. How to get the most juice out of your lemon. We give you that tip. How to store them in the refrigerator, and that you can freeze lemon juice and lemon zest. All those tips are online right now at foodschmooze.org. S-C-H, like school, M-O-O, like cows, Z-E, okay.
One more time for me.
and finally, we have a recipe up there for roasted garlic lemon broccoli. Couldn't be easier. Broccoli, where you separate the florets, a little bit of olive oil and salt and pepper, garlic and lemon juice. That goes into the oven. The broccoli florets get tossed, and then you just roast it in the oven, and it is so lemony and so good. If you want, you could sprinkle a little cheese on the top, maybe
Ooh.
Even a little hot pepper flakes
on
top of there. Okay. Wine coming up. As promised, just a minute on this. The Community Culinary School in New Milford, Connecticut is having an hors d'oeuvre cocktail party featuring the students from the school. We have the director, Dawn Hamascott, on the phone. Dawn, welcome to the Food Schmooze Party again.
Hey, thank you for having me.
Can you, in a sentence or two, explain what the students do, where you get them?
Our students are unemployed and underemployed individuals who are looking for some skills to get into or back into the workforce. 80% of them are receiving funding from the school.
And so,
our fundraiser is helping to raise funds in order to support those individuals.
And they want jobs in the food service and hospitality industry. Your event is May 16th at St. John's Episcopal Church in New Milford, Connecticut. And we have posted online a website for that, communityculinaryschool.org. Great thing to support. And are they involved in the food for this?
Absolutely. Students and graduates both. They will be preparing a wide variety of hors d'oeuvres, doing the service, and we will also have a live and silent auction, all funds going to support students in our program.
Thank you so much, Dawn, and best of luck with that.
Thank you, Faith. Appreciate it.
Okay, moving on from that, as promised, this is what I have been waiting for. Mark Raymond of Frederick Wildman & Sons, the wine distributor, beautiful portfolio of wines in all categories. He has brought in, I ask Mark each time, give us a bunch to taste. We have 3 here, $20 and under, that are the most incredible value for the money. These are not wines that people have done bad things to. They're not putting arsenic in the wine.
That's the new one.
They're not doing
that is
weird. Copper and metals.
Copper.
And these are real. These are European wines, and they have no, you know, crazy manipulation. And so the resveratrol in the grapes is preserved. And more to the point, they are delicious and affordable. So, Mark, start us off with your rosé, which is very, very popular now. It is the growing thing on so many restaurant menus and in so many people's houses. Very dry. This is not your old school sweet rosé or anything. Very dry. A hint of salmon color in the glass. So friendly with food.
Well done. Yes, this is... Gregory Hecht and Francois Bagnier from the Provence area, southern France. And this is their 2014 rosé.
Let's try. Go ahead.
So this is the Provence rosé, and this is as fresh as it gets. I mean, this is just freshness in a glass.
It is berries. Not sweet at all, but I can taste the skin of the grapes. It is dry and so food friendly. I feel like I could go any direction.
I love this. You know, again, you know, and Alex will chime in, and I'm sure Chris will as well. Rosés, you chill them down in the spring, in the summer, in the fall, and they're great with anything on the grill. But they're also great with wonderful fresh seafood that we get this time of year.
I would have this with meat.
Yeah,
believe
that's the cool thing
it
about
or
it.
Not,
you could definitely do this with a steak.
Absolutely,
yeah.
I would.
Yeah.
So, I mean, would I,
good
you know, maybe go
wine.
For a certain red we're going to get to next that is a dry red but sparkling, believe it or not.
Summer in a glass.
So this is around $20 a bottle. We have this posted on our website right now, foodschmooze.org. It's Hecht and Bagnier. H-E-C-H-T, but you don't have to remember. And you just say to them that Frederick Wildman and Sons is the distributor, can call ahead. And this is the Provence Rosé 2014, around $20. Oh, that is a beauty.
It's the coolest bottle, too. And it has a glass closure on it. I would say I could, like, swim in that bottle of rosé. It's like a swimming pool.
You're right. I didn't notice
oh,
the closure.
My gosh.
The design of the bottle is so pretty. You know, if you want to go to somebody's house, that's a good price point, coming to dinner or a luncheon at somebody's house.
You don't have
house.
To worry about carrying a corkscrew with you if you're at the beach.
And you know me, you could take it right off the top as you walk in the door and say, here.
Oh, I brought this
I brought this for us.
That's and I had some of it before I got here.
I had a little sip in the car to make sure it was good.
Oh, I can't wait. Okay, next up, again, at foodschmooze.org, the Hecht and Bagnier. I know, I don't either. Okay, so we have what is called a wastebasket lined with plastic here. And you can That's hear a, maybe yep. I'm
the
dumping
splash.
It in there so that
Not
I can
willingly.
Get a refill because we have a show to do and we try and be sensible. This one is one of my favorite, thank you, all-time wines that Mark has brought in, and I'll tell you why. Mm-hmm. I found a similar wine at El Forno, the great restaurant in Providence. A dry, bone dry red, so gorgeous. It's sparkling, and I thought, how unusual. Mark comes up with this, and this is, we think of Lambrusco, right? The Italian Lambrusco.
Well, that's what it is. However, it's very different than the style we've kind of grown up with.
That old school,
yeah.
Swedish, semi-sweet kind
yes.
of crazy, which is fine.
Which is one of my grandmother's favorite wines.
Yeah.
And I tell you, we still toast her every Thanksgiving with the sweet wine.
This is bone dry. It's called Col Sassoso?
Col Sassoso.
Col Sassoso.
Which is the name of the wine. And it is from the province of Emilia-Romagna. It's a blend of two grapes, the Sorbara grape and the Grasparosa.
Never heard of either one.
Neither.
Trying to remember those can just be complicated. Remember, it is a dry Lambrusco. It's a beautifully rich, dark red wine that has just a touch of effervescence.
A touch.
Beautiful fruit to it. And you chill it down for all the great seasons.
Every single thing I can think of this would go with.
Oh.
Honestly. It's so fabulous. I mean,
barbecue. Chicken. Barbecue ribs, even.
Absolutely.
Oh, absolutely. A steak, brisket.
Anything
pizza.
You can have at a tailgate party.
Pizza. Anything you have at a tailgate party.
Those little bubbles, though, make it so fun to drink.
Oh.
Yeah.
And it's chilled.
It just kind of tingles the palate a little bit.
So if you're a red wine lover,
and want
this is
red
one.
Wine, right,
and with a little what do you have the price point on this? I can't believe it. It is $15.
Yeah.
So on the website right now, foodschmooze, S-C-H-M-O-O-Z-E, foodschmooze.org. And that is Col, C-O-L, Sassoso.
I love the richness.
S-A-S-S-O-S-O.
Hangs on the palate.
I hate to say this, but if I were going to make sangria this summer, this would be perfect for
lemons
that.
Lemons and limes and grapefruit.
Oh, my gosh.
You know
yeah?
what?
Yeah? Yeah?
When we were having this before the show, I was going to ask you that.
This is perfect for that.
Would you
By
would
itself,
you do that?
But I hate to say
yeah,
it.
Yeah, no.
But
no.
I don't like using cheap wine for sangria. I like to use something that I'd want to drink. And this was some sliced fruit because the effervescence is almost playing off what you're adding to sangria when you add, you know, a little sparkling.
In doing that, Alex would be fortifying that sangria with maybe a spirit in addition.
Some brandy.
A brandy. So,
vodka,
and the fruit
gin.
Would add a little bit of sweetness back in toward the real old school Lambrusco. This thing, though, by itself, you would agree, Alex, honestly, I would happily have this with a lobster roll because the
butter,
fat in the mayo would be so gorgeous with this. Oh, my God. So love this.
Mark, you said it before. If you were doing some good Tuscan bread with all the cold cuts, the Italian cold cuts.
Oh, yeah.
This, you know, where it coats your mouth.
Absolutely.
This would just cut right through it and just make it so refreshing and just.
I would love this with swordfish.
Ooh.
I really would.
Yeah.
And because of the sparkle, even against lemon, where you wouldn't, you wouldn't turn toward a red quite so much.
It's right.
Just wonderful. Honestly, I can't think of anything.
Kind of red
I might even have
us,
this with
right?
spaghetti.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a new kind of red. So if you want to try something new, a new flavor, the grapes, the chill.
Bone dry. Yeah. And rich. Yeah. Really fabulous.
Yeah.
And
this is the one.
There is.
This is the one.
A festive. Festivity to it.
There's
a festivity because of that light sparkle in it.
Yeah. Okay. It's a party in your mouth.
It's a party in your mouth, babe. All right, so here we go. Again, these wines are all $20 and under. Three, thanks to Mark Raymond. Again, you say Frederick Wildman and Son. Call ahead to your wine store. They'll have it to you within 24 hours. This one is from one of my favorite regions in Italy to drink and eat, but especially to drink and to wander around because of the gorgeousness of the land where the wines are real. And this is from Piedmont in America, we say, but Piemonte in Italy. And this is called Rouvet.
And Rouvet is produced by Marchese di Barolo, one of the oldest families in Piedmont. And this is their Barbera d'Alba, which means it's a Barbera from the region of Alba. And it's actually blended. The Barbera is blended with 10% Nebbiolo, and it just gives it a little more richness, a little more depth. It's just a gorgeous red. I love this. It's so versatile.
I love this wine.
It's got enough fruit and vibrancy for people who like lighter sort of Pinot Noir style reds, but yet it's got enough boldness that you can hold it up to, you know, whatever hearty type of thing you might
want
to
eat.
Let
me ask you something. Alex, this is you too, because you're also a wine expert. And Chris, I'm with the wine guy. So this wine in particular has a backbone, which is not off-putting, but we would say in this world that it has a little bit of structure. It has body, which means that it can stand up to food. I would have this walking around, but it would be beautiful with so many foods. You know?
Absolutely.
It's got osso buco. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Osso buco, fantastic.
Anything on the grill. Yeah. I mean, really a fabulous wine. What a price point. $15 for this Rouvet. Ruvei.
Wow.
And again, it's Frederick Wildman and Sons, Mark Raymond for real wine. So a $20 wine and two $15 wines. As promised, $20 and under. Mark, thank you so much.
Thank you.
What great choices these are. Next, as promised, the Healthy Mind Cookbook. The author says these foods enhance your immune system, make your skin glow, clarify the mind. We know they're just delicious, these recipes. That's next. Please support your local food growers and food makers. Right now, everything we've talked about online at foodschmooze.org. More delicious conversation after a quick break. Please stay with us.
Lady sticks to me like white on rice. She never cooks the same way twice. Maybe it's the mushrooms, maybe the tomatoes. I can't reveal her name, but eggplant is her game.
Come on to my house. my house, I'm gonna give you a Christmas tree. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a marriage ring and a pomegranate too. Ah! Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you a peach and a pear and love your head. Ah! Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, come on. Come on to my house, I'm gonna give you an Easter egg. Come on to my house,
I'm Faith Middleton with the gang. This is the Food Schmooze Party coming to you in Connecticut, Rhode Island, Massachusetts, and New York, including the East End of Long Island. You can tweet us at FaithWNPR. And to join the conversation with us on Facebook, search The Faith Middleton Show. The gang is assembled, as always, for our party, and we're excited. Think about this. If plants look healthier and grow better when they're well-fed, well-watered, and given the light that they need individually, could the same thing be true for our food? In other words, eat certain things to look and feel better, to unfog the brain, improve the overall mood, the immune system. Who knows? That's the premise of this new cookbook, The Healthy Mind. We like the recipes especially. One for roast chicken za'atar is going to just knock your socks off. It's the thing to make, so don't hesitate. Cookbook co-author Rebecca Katz is on the phone. Her specialty is food as medicine. Her job is making it taste good. Welcome to the Food Schmooze Party, Rebecca.
Thanks for having me, Faith.
It's great to have you here. So I, of course, want to start with this chicken za'atar, grilled chicken za'atar. You certainly could do this in a pan. You could broil it in the oven, bake it. It doesn't matter in terms of that, because there's a fabulous sauce and these spices on the outside that are Middle Eastern. And this is one of my all-time favorite spice combinations. You might say za'atar. What is that? We're going to explain that to you. You can make it yourself. It requires one unusual ingredient that you can get at any Middle Eastern market. You can get it online. It's called sumac. This is so fabulous as a spice blend, I can't tell you. Without all that fat and oil, you just put this on the chicken and it's fantastic. Anyway, here I'm doing your job, Rebecca. So,
I think you're doing it so well.
I know. Well, I'm not so sure about that. I'd rather have you do it. So tell me about this recipe. Chris just made this for us and we swooned over this.
I love that you swooned. That makes me very happy as a cook. Za'atar is a Middle Eastern spice blend. It's thyme, sesame seeds, sumac, oregano, and marjoram. And I think one of the cool things, not only does it just make everything taste fabulous, but za'atar has had a long reputation as a brain enhancer. And isn't it cool that something that's so tasty, like oregano and thyme, increases our feelings of well-being? So no wonder you guys are feeling so happy.
Oh, yeah.
That's what it is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's all that was in there.
I'm feeling happy. And
my mental acuity is just remarkable at this moment.
I know. You're all in good moods. So,
I haven't smiled like this in weeks.
So za'atar, the great thing about making a spice blend is that you're guaranteed that the spices that you're using are fresh. And what I do is I make this in a batch. I put it in a jar. And I use za'atar. I sprinkle it on roasted vegetables. I can crust fish with it. You know, you can use it, spice blends, for a multitude of things. And what's so great about these spice blends and just taking the 10 minutes to make them and have them is that you can perk up just about anything that you cook. And the sauce that you're talking about is my everything drizzle. And all that is mint and parsley, olive oil, salt, and lemon juice, which is just wazzed up in a little mini food processor. And I call it edible makeup.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
It is the best thing I've put in my mouth in a long time. That mint, right? The mint just
There's
explodes.
A chef talking to you.
Wow.
So,
right?
Well,
Chris, you said you could swim in it?
I said I could swim in it.
Yeah.
these are the things, like the dollops of yum, I call them.
Great call.
That's good.
I like that.
Yeah. Chris, we'd love when Chris talks us through, because Chris is the rare chef who is particularly interested in home cooks.
Oh, great.
So he co-authors a column with Linda Juca in the Hartford Courant for home cooks and celebrating what home cooks do. So I love to talk with Chris about how, you know, step by step, how he put a particular recipe from your cookbook together. So this is your grilled chicken with za'atar and the edible makeup sauce.
We're going to call it from here on in.
The edible makeup sauce. So Chris.
This is really a home recipe. It's so simple. And za'atar, I like that. And this is what I tell a lot of people to do too. When you're making the za'atar, she gives you a good amount to make. So instead of just making the one tablespoon, you're going to make a little bit extra that you can use on other things.
How long does it last, Chris, do you think?
It lasts in the refrigerator quite a long time. Yeah. Chris makes this himself and long time ago gave me a container of it. And I want to say, Rebecca, that I put it on every protein you could imagine. So fish, chicken, cornish hen, you know, turkey, you name it. Then I put it in my scrambled eggs.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh. Then I put it on vegetables. One night I decided I wanted a baked potato with sour cream and butter. So I said, I think I'll swap out the sour cream for yogurt and make this a little bit less fat. And the next thing I knew, I was sprinkling za'atar on my baked potato. It's the best tasting thing. Okay,
all
Chris.
Right, so za'atar, very simple. Dried thyme, toasted sesame seeds, the dried sumac that we talked about, oregano, and marjoram. And
where do you get the sumac?
For me, in the Hartford region.
You live near
region,
Hartford.
Yeah, so in that area, it's called Cosmos, and it's a little Middle Eastern market. They have a couple different brands of it.
You can get this online.
Oh, yeah. And every area has its own little
Middle
Eastern market.
It's a very bright tasting. If you combine
citrusy
lemon
notes,
and
yeah,
lime
really cool
zest
beautiful
together,
color,
it
too.
Has some kind of profile like that. But in any case.
So you take that mixture. You're going to put a tablespoon aside to make this chicken dish. And the rest you can use on your eggs, like you said. For breakfast. All right. So you mix olive oil, the za'atar, lemon zest, sea salt, and black pepper together, and then you basically marinate your chicken in it. And that this is key, and she says this in the recipe, so it's really important to note that you let that sit for a good 15 minutes.
You mean you coat it on?
Yeah, so you're pounding your chicken thin, so it's about a quarter inch thick, and then you just sort of press it on and let it sit in a shallow dish with this marinade on it.
In the refrigerator or out on the counter?
Yeah, you do it in the refrigerator.
Okay.
And then right before
for
you...
How long does it stay in there?
At least 15 minutes.
Oh,
right?
So you can do this after work. Great. Okay, go ahead.
And then all you do is get your grill nice and hot, or like you said, you can do it in the oven, and grill it till it's cooked all the way through. And then fresh parsley goes on top, and the, what did we call it? The edible makeup.
The sauce.
And the edible makeup, like she said, is just parsley, mint, lemon juice, sea salt, a little bit of maple syrup, and extra virgin olive oil that goes in the food processor, and just spin it till it's a puree.
How do you keep the seeds, that coating on the outside, from burning if you're grilling?
I do a hot grill, and you just constantly, like, you leave it on there, it'll get nice and smoky, and then turn it. So
okay,
it's not
so it's
sitting
not
on the same
long.
Place.
Okay.
Yeah. And
okay.
A quarter inch, remember, we pounded this to a quarter inch, so they cook pretty fast.
Pretty fast.
A minute
okay.
or two on each side.
Wonderful
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, Rebecca, I am going to make that everything sauce and have it in my home refrigerator, because I could put that on chips.
Oh, if you put it on your face, I think you'd be green, though.
Well, and it holds really well, and if you don't devour it really quickly, I mean, that's a good thing to have in your freezer, because let's say you bring home a rotisserie chicken or something you don't feel like cooking, but you want to doll up your food, it's that sauce.
Clever. Yeah, very clever.
This is like a recipe for the New Yorker who keeps sweaters and shoes in the stove, you know, in the oven. This is what happens. So, I mean, it's a wonderful storage place. They don't cook everything. A French fry can get delivered in New York City. I can testify to this personally. So you don't use your oven. Maybe you use the stovetop to boil or maybe saute something. That would be an amazing experience. So this is the thing. You go out and buy a rotisserie chicken. This is like the New Yorker recipe that Rebecca is giving us. And then, you know, you sprinkle all this stuff on and you're good to go.
Yeah, I don't think there's much you couldn't put this on.
Have people
Mark
over.
Said earlier, oysters.
Oh, yeah.
Could you imagine grilling oysters so they just pop open?
And just put a little touch of this edible makeup sauce on each one of them. Oh, it would be fantastic.
Wait, why does she call it edible makeup sauce?
No, calls it – what do you call it? Everything wonderful in the book? Or
my everything drizzle.
Everything drizzle. No, it's true.
I drizzle it on everything.
Okay, so let's now jump to the beginning of the book and go in a kind of order. I couldn't resist. That chicken dish was so great. Anything we talk about on this show, as we have mentioned, is on our website. Information about Rebecca Katz and the co-author of the book, and her cookbook is called The Healthy Mind Cookbook. These are big, powerful flavors and recipes that she does. Her specialty is food as medicine, but it has to taste good. Rebecca's philosophy, these are foods and ingredients, according to her research, that enhance brain function, mood, memory, and mental clarity.
And the stresses of everyday life.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and who couldn't use that?
You don't need a therapist anymore. Antidepressants, throw them out the window. It's unbelievable. So, robust chicken soup. I am someone who really fools around with chicken soup. I do wild things to chicken soup because by itself, in the kind of Jewish tradition, it just doesn't have enough stuff going on for me. So I fool. And I love that you did that in your robust soup sauce.
Yeah, I agree with you. Chicken soup in and of itself is like a blank canvas. It is meant to be played with. It's meant to be added on to. And in this recipe, I added some cannellini beans, and then I went even further, and I added some arugula and lemon zest and lemon juice and some basil. And, you know, lemon juice and lemon zest cannot be underestimated when it comes to perking up anything, and especially chicken soup. Because it's like lemon is like a little Pixar animated character. It will brighten up. It will bring things alive. And I think chicken soup is one of those things that really benefits from a little spritz of lemon and some herbs. So I'm glad that you like it. It's one of my go-tos.
So olive oil and onions and fennel and garlic, fresh sage and fresh thyme. You can use chicken stock, chicken meat, the lemon zest and arugula you mentioned, parsley and basil. That's what makes this robust. The point is, these things are chosen by Rebecca because they have health properties in her philosophy that are important. And here, I say you can play. So if you want to use her profile and then spin toward the direction you like, you certainly can do that. Now, are we arugula fans on the show? That peppery...
Fennel, all that stuff.
Yeah, so arugula salad with roasted cherries and goat cheese. I just think that's a beautiful combination.
I love the goat cheese.
Are you a roasted cherry guy?
Cherry tomatoes, too.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
yes. No, I think cherries are one of those things we don't cook, but they're wonderful when you just take them and put them in the oven for a quick high heat.
You cut them in half, right?
I've never thought about roasting the cherries.
Oh, my gosh, yeah.
Drizzle olive oil, salt. Mm-hmm.
So tell me about this.
My cherries never last that long when I get them.
I know.
You got to buy them twice a month.
They're not going near heat. I know, exactly. These are fresh cherries, so this has to be in season, but, you know, we can see that in the distance.
Right. Well, you can see it in the distance. And you could also use dry tart cherries, which would be really fabulous.
See, I was on cherry tomatoes. You guys are all on cherries.
No, we're on real cherries.
Yeah, real cherries. Cherries. Yum.
How about goat cheese and cherries?
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
There you go.
So you could definitely use, you know, tart cherries, dry tart cherries.
So you've got the pepperiness of the arugula against the, you know, the semi-sweetness of the fresh cherries, and then the tang of the goat cheese, and then a Meyer lemon balsamic vinaigrette, which is terrific. Sliced almonds for texture, and in your philosophy, the health properties. So Meyer lemon, a kind of cross between a lemon and an orange. So this is a milder lemon, a little sweeter. Some people even say they can take a bite out of it. I can't, but it is a fabulous lemon.
And they're beautiful. It's like if you see them at the grocery store, they're smaller and have a beautiful, rich yellow color. They're so pretty.
Yes.
And, you know, I have a virtual orchard growing in my house.
Where are you in California?
I'm in just north of San Francisco in San Rafael, California.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
And so I'm a native East Coast girl, and I moved here for the Meyer lemons.
From where? Where did you move from?
Baltimore, Maryland.
Okay, so, wow.
Nice change.
I lived in New York, so.
Oh, boy, you're in the land of produce now.
I am.
Oh, you lucky. Okay, very quickly, because we're running out of time, we're having too good a time with you. So there's an orange salad with olives and mint in Rebecca Katz's book called The Healthy Mind Cookbook, Food as Medicine is Her Thing. There is shrimp-stuffed avocados 2.0, meaning this is going to be pretty outside the box. It's going to involve lime juice, cumin, coriander, jalapeno, olive oil, and the avocado. There is, let's pause on this for a second, Big Cat's turkey meatloaf. We on this show are real meatloaf fans. Yeah. So I tell me quickly, you've got a sauce here, but tell me what's in this meatloaf. I love all these things.
Well, this is like, we wanted to do a meatloaf that was going to have a nice light texture to it. And we substituted mushrooms for breadcrumbs, and so we processed the mushrooms.
Oh, clever!
Like a duxelle, just wash it in the food processor so that they're nice and light. Folded them in, and I snuck in a little bit of anchovy for a little bit of umami in there and more brain boosting properties, and then you put it all together, it comes together very, very quickly, and you bake it, and of course, every meatloaf needs a special sauce, so this is that typical, wonderful, sweet, sour sauce that you would expect to see. We call it the not-so-secret sauce. But
listen, this sauce has extra virgin olive oil, yellow onion, sea salt, garlic minced, tomato puree, a touch of grade B maple syrup, apple cider vinegar, and a cinnamon stick. This is very unusual as a sauce, and I think fantastic. The meatloaf itself, listen to all these things that are packed in here. The cremini mushrooms, the extra virgin olive oil, yellow onion, carrot, red pepper flakes to give it a little zing. You can do that to taste. Minced garlic, just a couple of anchovies, a secret ingredient. You don't even, as you say in the book, you don't even have to mention this.
Right.
Sea salt, black pepper. Well, you do have to in case people have allergies or food sensitivities. Fresh oregano, fresh thyme, parsley, and that ground turkey, but the thigh meat, if you can possibly get it.
Yes. And then you get something that's really surprisingly light.
Mm. So we're just cruising through the book to give you a kind of experience of this. Grilled bison burgers. I love bison meat in the supermarket. Tart cherry and chocolate crunch. What a good thing that is. And that disappears wherever you go, I know. Toasted cumin citrus vinaigrette. That is the one for my house. And Jean's brain tea, which is filtered water, organic green tea bags, cinnamon stick, organic orange and some orange peel, blueberry juice concentrate, and unsweetened concentrate of any other juice you love. It could be raspberry, tart cherry, blackcurrant, cranberry, lingonberry, or pomegranate. You can do this hot or cold. The brain tea, which, as your brain scientist friend Jean Wallace says, is very good for your immune system and also makes your brain sharp. So we're personally drinking gallons of it right now. Hey, thank you so much. What a wonderful job on this book. Thank you, Rebecca.
Thank you so much, Babe. It was so much fun to be with you.
The Healthy Mind Cookbook, Rebecca Katz, co-author with Matt Edelson. The Food Schmooze on WNPR airs Wednesdays at 3 and 9, Saturdays at noon, and we are online right now or anytime. Find the recipes, food, products, restaurants, value wines, easy cocktails right now at foodschmooze.org. Here's to pleasure, my friends, and remember, never eat more than you can lift. In New Haven, I'm Faith Middleton.
Everybody eats when they come to mind.